This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
Hey, this is Jess Mowboy, proud to be heard on the beautiful Joy 94.9.
Hello and welcome to Been There, Done That on Joy 94.9. It's Chris here, and I've got a couple of blokes across the panel from me whose voices you might or might not know, but just in case you've run out of memory.
That would make me Phil.
And?
Well, I must be Gordon, because it's Chris, Gordon and Phil, so I've got to be Gordon.
It is.
Thank and you. I'm glad you called us blokes, because many years ago I got a phone call from Hawaii.
Yeah.
From my then-to-be boyfriend.
Yeah.
Who'd been out for the evening with a bunch of Australians. And when they said goodbye to him, they said he was a good bloke. So he called me to ask what a bloke was. To see if he'd been insulted or not.
Well, it is a word that is not very often used these days amongst men. We used to have cobber and mate, yeah, and bloke and all those sort of words, but they have fallen beside the wayside.
Well, your typical bloke wouldn't be very politically correct, would he? He'd be a bit blokey.
Oh, yeah, I suppose so.
Mistreat women and smoke and do all sorts of horrible things.
Yeah.
No, we've gone for the generic guy. In fact, it's been multisexual use of you guys.
Mm. I like the word cobber. I think cobber's a beauty, to call somebody a cobber.
Welcome to Been There, Done That with Gordon, Phil and Chris.
Hey, that's us.
And we've got little bits of history to talk about, history in the making, because that's the sort of line that we take on our little show. On today's show, we'll be talking about the Midsummer Carnival that was held last weekend. We'll be talking about some gay icons, Peter Tatchell, Will Young, David Bowie. We'll be talking about some space adventures and Foundation Day. We will talk about local politics, but I think we should start today about Carnival, which was last weekend.
Yes.
Gordon, you were there. Phil, you were there. Chris, yes, I was there.
We were all there at sort of seeing one another. I saw Philip as I was leaving. He was going in, and I saw you while I was talking to another lady. And
Another lady.
Yes.
Chris and that other lady. Yeah.
And but it was wonderful catching up with people that you know. That's what I like about Carnival, because you see the people you don't see from time to time.
How many do you reckon were there?
I reckon there would be over 100,000.
It felt that sort of a crowd.
Well, I've been to every carnival since God knows when, but it was it's been building, you know. And I can remember a couple of years ago said that there was 105,000 people there, according to the police.
Yeah,
and there seemed to be a lot more there last weekend when
according
it was on.
According to my official count, which is 1, 2. More than two. There were more than two people there.
And it was great that the new or revised or updated layout, with minus 18 having their own drug and alcohol-free zone.
Might I say, when I walked past that, they seemed to be having a bloody good time.
That's good.
Yeah, well, I thought, well, good on them, you know, exactly. As I walked past, you know. Mm-hmm. They
don't need uppers to get happy.
No.
And then there was these sports groups. They had their own zone, which was terrific. And then there was mums with kids in pushers, or mums and dads, in an off-leash area, and the kids were running around and falling over on their faces, and the parents didn't really have to worry. And then there's all the lovely picnic peoples under the trees.
Chris, what time did you get there?
Oh, probably just after midday.
Oh, I got there before 11, and everybody was, I don't know how long they'd been there, but they had their spaces set out with their big ground sheets on the thing, so nobody could, and the place was packed. Nobody sitting on them, but somebody had been there and put out their ground sheet, so that was their spot under the shade, which I thought was good on them.
The town was buzzing, wasn't it, Phil? Oh,
There were people everywhere, most of them in front of me.
Oh, there was one behind you with a pusher.
Oh, I loved her. Yes, I didn't get her name, but thank you. But see you next year.
But I was very impressed with the way they had the marquees set out for the different groups of people. They had sort of all the health groups all together. They had all the different people, you know, and those sort of things were
situated. It was a little bit organised rather than alphabetical.
Yeah, that's right. It was good because they put everybody with similar interests close to one another. Mm. So, you know.
I'm a bit concerned about this minus 18 bunch. They've got to wait 36 years to get a driver's licence. It's very young, minus 18.
They're not even born yet.
That's right. What do they talk about?
No. But it was great. The art centre was alive. Tennis was alive. There was other activities. The river looked brilliant.
But what weather? The weather was so wonderful.
It was perfect.
Yep. I don't know what Fred Nile would have thought about it. But anyhow, we had lovely sunshine
not
here.
Not to
in
worry.
Melbourne.
No, yep. It was brilliant.
He would have been praying for rain.
Now, you're talking about one of the health groups. Was it you, Phil, who saw the T-shirt?
The T-shirt said, AIDS still matters.
And of course it does.
Well, it's a point we've been making for a long time. That there is a sense of complacency in the wider community. There's a lot of people working really hard on PrEP, and those in the know are fine, but we're not getting the message to either the younger generations or the people who aren't considered part of our community that are still having sex.
Yeah.
So it was a good message.
It still means that they PrEP has been very good. It's been 99.something% effective, but there's always that chance that it's not going to be.
It's an answer, not the answer.
Yeah, that's right. So. Yeah. And it's still safe sex is the best way to go. It really is. But you've got to convince younger people that is the right way to be it. But they haven't lived through what we've lived through. They haven't seen the destruction, the awfulness of that disease.
Well, the loss.
Yeah, and the loss, yeah.
No, so, okay. And also talking about losses, we're talking political.
Oh, God,
the poor loss of the Liberal Party with their, Kelly O'Dwyer going.
The minister for this, that and the other, yeah. But she's, you can understand why she's given it away. Understandable completely because she's been flying backwards and forwards to Canberra. And I was very interested to find out that in America, all the politicians that are elected to the House and to the Senate, they all move into Washington. And they live there while they're doing their work during the week. And then they all go home. The families go home to their houses at the weekend.
Oh, right.
It means that the families stay together when Parliament is sitting, which to me sounds like a damn good idea because our system was organised when they were back in 1901 when we started having a federal Parliament here in Melbourne. They all had to come from interstate. People had to come down from Queensland and across from WA on that thing that they had on about the trains. They said that John Curtin crossed the Nullarbor Plain on the train six times during his prime ministership.
Yeah.
He was, other than that, he would stay in Canberra. But we are so far apart, you know, and still are.
How long was that journey?
It was 3 days in those days, yes. It's still 3 days, actually, yes. Yeah. Yeah. But it would be a sensible idea to move everybody into Canberra and then they didn't have to have their family bust-ups, you know, with leaving the family home. That's men and women, you know.
Well, I heard Josh Frydenberg on Monday morning with John Fain on ABC stumbling through an interview of how the Liberal Party is functioning and going to function, and it was a stumble.
But of course, you've got to remember that Kelly O'Dwyer was a moderate in the Parliament, and she stood up there at one stage and said that the Liberal Party got to get their act together because they're homophobic, women-hating, misogynists, and something else. And she really tore into them.
Yeah.
And I was reading in the paper that she was then ostracised by a great many of the people in the party because she'd actually had the temerity to say it. Yeah. You know?
Well, she's got girl germs.
Yeah, she
can't go near her.
But she was. But good on her. She's retiring for the good of her family, and that's a wonderful thing to do.
It is. She's actually spoken up for us.
Oh,
for
yeah, our community. Yeah, she was. She was right behind the same-sex marriage thing. Yeah. She really wanted it. Yeah, yep. But it's going to be a loss to the party because they're going to lose another woman, and they can ill afford to do that. But they won't do anything about quotas or anything. You know.
The good news is they're going to lose another election.
Well. Do you see much how much money they throw around the place?
Yeah, well, they're going to try to buy it.
Yeah, they always do.
I just hope the electorate has a better memory than that.
No, well, we've got so much on our particular agenda that needs to be processed and improved for ourselves in the equality stakes that I think we mightn't get much more out of this mob.
No, I don't think so. Well, you've got a happy clapper in charge.
So there we go. Stay tuned. There's more. I wish you were here.
Do you? Well, I am. We are, aren't you, Phil? Who's this from?
This is from Harvey. I'm missing your body. Let me make it clear. I wish you were here.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLB, TIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
You're with Gordon, Phil and Chris. Been there, done that, Joy 94.9. Thanks for being with us. In the anniversaries book, we've got a couple of people that we'll be talking about on today's show. The first one is, though, Peter Tatchell, born on the 25th of January 1952. He's getting on in years, but then we all are. He's an Australian, born here in Melbourne.
Yep.
And he is a stirrer. He's a gay activist. He learnt his skills here in Australia in some aspects.
In the 70s, wasn't
yeah.
it? Yeah.
And then he moved to UK, where he became part of the Outrage people, the team who were sort of stirring things up there.
Although at the same time, I would have appreciated some gay icons in the public.
As you were growing
as
up.
As I was growing up. Mm. Because, well, frankly, the only one I can remember is Liberace, and that's... There were That's a lot, not a target
there,
you want to focus
there
on.
There were a lot more of them. That,
well, there were gay people out there.
That you never knew.
Yeah, we didn't know who they were. Yeah.
Peter Tatchell, actually, his political activity began at, of all places, Mount Waverley Secondary College, where in 1967 he launched campaigns in support of Australia's Aboriginal people, and he was elected secretary of the school's SRC, the Student Representative Council, and in his final year in 68 as school captain, he took the lead in setting up scholarship scheme for Aborigines and led a campaign for Aboriginal land rights. And these activities led the headmaster to claim that he had been manipulated by communists.
Oh, God, that'd be the same old story, the communists
but,
get it.
But he joined the Australian campaign against the death penalty and things like this. He got his political appetite whetted by these sorts of general public activities.
But he was always on the behalf of the... people that were down in society, not
the underdogs.
The underdogs, which is what the Aboriginal people were in those days. They're still the same even today with all the freedoms that we have and the way that they've been brought ahead. But they still have, in those days, that was dreadful the way that the Indigenous population was treated.
Well, back in 1971, he decided to do a Trump, although he didn't know that what he did was going to be...
a Donald.
adopted by the Donald. But to avoid conscription in the Australian Army, Tatchell moved to London in 1971. He had accepted his own gayness in 1969, and in London... He became a leading member of the Gay Liberation Front until its 1974 collapse. And he was known for conducting sit-ins at pubs that refused to serve poofs.
Oh, yes. He
protested against police harassment and the medical classification of homosexuality as a brain disease.
I think you would call him a political firebrand.
Exactly.
Because he caused some trouble.
All these things that have been sort of resolved now, he was attacking 30 years ago.
But he's still attacking.
But he is. But that is, you know, a life of activism.
Mm.
But see, back then you had to make a noise to be noticed because you didn't have numbers. The people weren't coming out because it wasn't safe. And I guess he followed the cue of the women's liberation. They were heard when they became louder. But to be fighting that same fight or that same method now isn't really necessary.
Well, we've
got the numbers.
But he's moved it to places like Russia and this sort of thing. He's got sort of, he's now...
Well, he obviously enjoys a good fight because that's where to go.
Well, this is the way he's been doing all his life, really. He's ever since he was in school.
Yeah.
He's done this fight for what he believed is the right. And it's understandable. People like that come along every now and again. And
well, we probably wouldn't have all our freedoms now if he hadn't started making a noise then.
Well, the huge noise that he's made internationally,
The change that we're developing or inheriting is not just our efforts.
No.
It's taken time to change people's minds.
But everybody else that's been along the same ride, you know, they've been probably a lot quieter than Peter Tatchell was, but they have done a lot of work in the background to get things changed for the betterment of our community, you know, which is a good thing.
But we've still got governments who fear difference.
Oh, good, all around the world.
And that's why equality is such a hard fight, because... Mm. The fear is genuine.
But
if they would have spent an hour at Carnival over the weekend, they would have seen a lot of difference, but nobody was hurting each other.
Well, the only way to stop us being born is to stop having sex.
Oh.
That's a straight people problem. Hello.
Hello, indeed. but what about one of the things at the moment is that the gay conversion therapy that people are trying to keep flogging. Well, recently in Israel, the Israel Medical Association bans the gay cure therapy. And in the US, New York bans gay conversion therapy.
Yep.
So there's this groundswell. And the people who are wanting to promote it are of a certain ilk.
Are they? Is it a religious belief?
Well,
that this change can happen.
This is right.
Because it's not a medical belief.
We know medically and all the rest of it that we cannot be changed. But these people who have got this system in their way of thinking and the way they believe that they can change people, you cannot change the way you're born. It's just impossible.
To quote Ned Flanders from The Simpsons, I'm not going to listen to the opinion of anybody living. So anything he needs to know was in that book.
Yeah. Oh, right. Yeah.
And that book's flawed.
Yes, a little bit along the way. It's still interesting to see that we're still having a small argument about gay conversion therapy here in Australia too. There are still this little pockets of thing around churches. Yeah, church groups having these little meetings and things, you know.
Is our Prime Minister, current Prime Minister, this week's Prime Minister, part of that mob, do you think?
Well...
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't think he...
I must investigate that.
I'm not sure whether he voted for our same-sex marriage thing at all.
He's a bit too close to the church. He's not going to come out vocally.
No, probably not.
To support us. Yeah. Mm. But you've got to do what they do in the papers and on TV. You say the Prime Minister, and then you name him. Because if you don't, it could be anybody.
True.
Here in Australia at the moment, it could be, yeah.
Yeah. Canada are having a bit of a celebration coming up next year because... Is it next year?
I think it's 2019, isn't it?
They're going to release a $1 coin.
A loony.
Called apparently. A loony.
Why?
I don't know.
Well, a loony is an aquatic bird, apparently. As I remember reading many years ago, somebody was explaining it to me.
I think of a dollar coin, I think aquatic bird every time. Or a flightless waterfowl.
Oh, right.
A penguin.
Yeah. But it's amazing.
It's celebrating the 1967 decriminalisation, which I will not spell, of gay sex in
in Canada.
I was going to say the other word, but yes, Canada.
And also Canadians, we back on gay conversion, they have also had a petition calling for the conversion therapy to be banned. Yeah. That's a thing in Canada as well. So, and the Australian Senate, of course, have a bill, a motion making it to ban conversion therapies as well.
Yeah. Well, look at the calendar. It's not 1959 anymore.
It is not.
We're not going to believe all these silly, like, what's this, Indigenous communists. We've got to get out of those mindsets.
Well, the new design was approved by Prime Minister Justin Trudeau on December 14th, 2018.
And it's a secret.
But it is a secret at the moment.
Yes.
That's right. The details of the design are currently under wraps as the Mint wants to maximise the impact of the launch. Well, that's fair enough. Well, it seems like it's a family affair, however, because Juzzy is enforcing what his dad did. Prime Minister in 1967 was Pierre Trudeau, and that's Jazzy's dad.
Yep, but unfortunately between Pierre and Justin, I beg your pardon, there's been some absolute dickheads in the Canadian Parliament as well. Mm.
But if they want to maximise the impact of a coin release, throw them at the public.
Oh, yeah.
But hand them out for free. Safety reason, you have to wrap the coin in a paper note. I learned that from a busker in San Francisco. He said, for people up on the third level, if you're going to throw coins, wrap them in $10 bills.
Oh, yeah, okay then. I thought you were going to say the new ones could be wrapped in a condom.
No.
Well, handed out that way, there you go. But the battle for LGBT rights is continued much after the decriminalisation. And in 1981... the police raided four bathhouses, saunas in Toronto, arresting more than 250 men in what was known as Operation Soap. And as a result, about 3,000 people then took to the streets to protest the arrests. And several of those had to appear in court, but that's police confrontation that Stonewall had, that Mardi Gras here in Australia had, that we had here in Melbourne with the Tasty Raid.
That's right.
There was a breaking point.
There comes a time when you can put up with so much being done against you, but then you have to fight back.
Yeah. And it was only in 2016, not that long ago, that the Toronto Police Chief apologised for those arrests. And Juzzy also apologised around about that time as well for the historic persecution of LGBT people under the country's anti-gay laws of the time.
But you've got to think he's a pretty good politician, because who offered that young lady who was seeking refuge the thing within a matter of days? He said, right, she can come here. You know, and that was it. Well, we sat around working out what we were going to do about it.
Well, were trying to figure out how not to let her in, because we didn't want immigrants.
Yeah, that's true.
Oh,
but
really?
On a health note, and the Canadian coin, if your child swallows a $1 coin, just monitor their stool and look out for any change.
Righto, Phil.
You learn a lot here.
Well, that is almost going to be the name of the song that Will Young is going to sing, because his birthday is listed as when? 20th of January, 1979, he was born. UK pop singer. And he's going to sing Changes in honour of swallowed dollar coins. You're on Joy. Been there, done that. Gordon, Phil and Chris. Stay tuned. There's more.
Love radio? Joy is now on iHeartRadio. Turn us on anywhere.
You're with Gordon, Phil and Chris. Been there, done that. Joy 94.9. Thanks very much, Will, for your little birthday song before those special announcements. But also someone who's having a bit of a birthday round about this time is a fellow by the name of David Bowie. He's a leftover from the 8th of January 1947, and he has already gone to meet his maker back in 2016. David Bowie, UK actor, singer, songwriter.
Yes.
He was sexually generous.
Yeah, well, you could call it that, I suppose.
Well, I'm not being critical.
No, it's not critical.
He was hard to define. He liked a lot of people. And he had two different coloured eyes.
That's right.
He did what?
One
eye was a bit...
There was a bluey and a brownie, I think.
Yeah, he had a light coloured eye and a dark coloured eye, which was something to do with his genetics when he was born.
Whoa.
Hmm. I thought it was the result of a fall or a fight or something.
Golly,
but a
gosh.
Very talented man and gone too soon.
Yes, he went at the age of 69. It was a rather a full life. He was living perhaps much as plenty of people would have liked to, but I don't know that I would have had the energy.
I think he lived through the glory days of that sort of era when you had these greats. When pop music was great, you know, would you had people like Elton John and Pink Floyd and all those wonderful, wonderful musical acts, and David Bowie was probably at the peak of them, you know.
He was different.
He was a space cowboy. And actually that's from another song, but he had his songs about Major Tom and going on missions, as did Elton John with Rocket Man. And that would have been a result of NASA's work going to the moon only a few years earlier.
That would have probably inspired them to write those sort of songs.
Yeah, all these songy, writery guys, they've got to do something with news.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Ziggy Stardust, is that the name that he's
that was a,
had for
an alter,
character?
An alter ego, maybe more than a character.
Right.
Ziggy would have been a different person to David.
That's the character that had that strange makeup on his face,
well,
wasn't it?
It was maybe a Z or a lightning bolt.
Looked like a lightning bolt, yes, yeah.
Yeah. But see, stars today have alter egos.
Do they?
Oh, yeah.
Beyonce is Sasha Fierce. Don't get me to explain that because that's all I know.
But a lot of people have two names, a stage name.
A lot of people have one, like Madonna.
We, as gay people, have often been accused of being schizophrenic because one time we're gay one moment, but we're straight the next, depending upon the society that we're interacting with. From you, Gordon.
Well, I don't think I've ever changed which society I've been in.
I usually go straight to the next gay person.
Thank you very much indeed, Phil, for that, yeah. David Bowie was rather the exception to the rule. His music was not pop in the normal bouncy, happy, clappy.
It was not your 3-minute toe tapper.
No, it was not.
It was, well, we had rock operas at the time. His music would have been more cerebral, maybe drug influenced to a fairly heavy level.
More than probable. It was a sad loss to the music industry when he went. And that's 2 years ago.
And it was a quite a shock.
Mm.
There were lots of people not expecting that because he hadn't led what you'd call an enthusiastic life with medicinal assistance.
Not what you read about.
Well, we didn't hear a lot about his private life.
That's
right. And in his later years, we didn't hear a lot of him. He did pop up on a few American sitcoms. Just playing himself at a club or something like that.
Yeah.
So he, I think, started to take himself a little less seriously.
Right.
But
a few of the stars of that era have burnt out.
Oh, yeah. One's still going, though.
Yeah, yeah.
Elton. Elton's still there with us.
Yes, although he's
not touring anymore.
He got enthusiastic in various areas.
And you're listening to Been There, Done That on Joy 94.9.
You were talking about sort of Ziggy Stardust and the activities of NASA, North American Space Administration.
Yes.
And what happened around about, well, on the 27th of January 1967, the Outer Space Treaty was opened. And that's where certain countries who thought they were the bigwigs of the day and were likely to go to space all joined hands and danced in fairy circle.
Yes, it's... Well, somewhat laughable.
I think they had to sort of do something to make sure that there was no the stuff that they were sending up wasn't going to crash into one another and all that sort of thing that they had to have. They had to have some sort of regulation about what was going to go up and where it was going to be situated.
Well, yeah. There's also sovereignty of, you know, who discovers what and who owns what.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
It's really a result of the Cold War.
Yeah, but looking at the names of the countries who were involved at that stage, left out the mob that did something rather magic in the last couple of weeks.
That was
by
China.
Putting China, the secret society.
But of course, in the days when the space agency was started, I don't think China was in the space race anyhow.
They had rockets, but they were fireworks.
Yeah.
they were pretty colours.
Yeah, they send them up at the Lunar New Year and all those sort of things. But they were not considered to be in that sort of group.
So one strata of their society has really got the technical knowledge to do all these things.
Well, they sent them to America to go to university. And we're doing the same here. We're training the Chinese to do all sorts of stuff that will come back and bite us in the bum.
Yeah. But they have kept things very quiet about what they were doing with rocket research and everything. So you didn't
secretive know. Chinese government.
Yes. Sort of.
Yeah. Wow.
They don't advertise it. They don't tell you what they're doing in those sort of things. They surreptitiously do a lot of things that are going to affect the way the world is run.
Mm.
And this is one of them. But of course, they've just landed on the dark side of the moon. There you go, Pink Floyd.
Yeah.
Yes.
And they've done a few things that have upset the environment with the Three Gorges Dam. Okay, and lots of things like this.
Well, they don't mind just flooding villages or anything. They just move them holus bolus out of the way.
What about the pollution of their major cities?
Oh yes,
they're doing that very well.
Yeah, that's.
But their justice system is very efficient.
Oh yes,
it's no question, bang, gone.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, they do have capital punishment there, which we don't, of course.
On the same day as the space treaty was opened, the three astronauts were killed when a fire destroyed the Apollo 1 rocket.
Yes, on the launch pad. What we have learnt through mistakes is how to travel safely. The control or the command module, where the little guy sat for takeoff, was 100% pure oxygen.
That is somewhat
flammable.
Yes.
And it literally took the smallest spark
to set it off.
Bang, the whole thing just exploded, killing them instantly and setting the race back a long way. I think the complacency again comes in because they were doing this routinely and just filling her up with oxygen. Somebody really should have sat down and thought, well, you know, we don't breathe pure oxygen here on Earth. Why should we have it in the cabin?
Why were they doing that? Was there any explanation?
I don't know. I would imagine it was maybe a medical or performance type thing.
It could have been oxygen, that they didn't have any way of clearing the air, so they breathe. So the carbon dioxide that they exhaled might have...
I would hope they'd research that long before launching.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was a very harsh lesson.
Pretty disastrous way to learn what to do, wasn't it?
And yeah, some very heavily qualified people lost their lives.
But then they also had another drama again.
On the 28th of January.
Some years later.
Yeah, but that's when the Challenger exploded, when it was airborne. It just went sort of funny, boom, bang. Yeah.
Well, it was the result of cost cutting and the weather. So I wouldn't have imagined it, but they get frosty nights in Florida.
But see, there it is wintertime over there when they've been letting them off, because they all happened in January.
Well, these events.
Yeah.
But the shuttle can take off at predetermined times. You have to map out its whole trip. But this was the O-rings on the ejectable solid rocket boost, and they were frozen, and instead of expanding to protect the contents, when they went for throttle up, the fuel caught fire outside the rocket instead of inside, leaving nothing to return to Earth.
Yeah, and then they just exploded.
Yes, and that was the first civilian astronaut, Sally Ride, the school teacher, was on board. And yes, basically when something goes wrong on launch, everybody knows.
Except if you're in China, you wouldn't know.
The rest of the world doesn't know, but it might well have happened.
Yeah,
and that's the thing.
That's the thing, yeah. But they'll eventually be farther out to space, because I was reading in the paper the other day that there was, in 5 billion years, now I said billion, 5 billion years, the sun's going to be no longer the sun. So what's going to happen to Earth? I don't think I'll be here to worry about it.
Well, the sun burns out and turns into a black hole, sucking all the planets in it.
No,
End of story.
No, they said it's going to be a blue, like crystal in the sky.
Like a mirror ball.
Yes, like a mirror ball.
How very gay. You're with Gordon, Phil and Chris. Been there, done that.
You can find more Joycasts and show blogs. Go to joy.org.au.
You're with Gordon, Chris and Phil. Been there, done that. Joy 94.9. Well, we've got a couple of more topics to talk about.
Yes, a very interesting one, actually.
China, we were talking about a little earlier, gave away part of their country way back in 1841 on the 20th of January. They ceded the island of Hong Kong to the British.
Have you seen a photo of the island of Hong Kong that they ceded? It had almost nothing on it. It was just a little fishing village. That's all it was.
And how did it turn into be the place that it is at the moment?
Oh, the British
economy. It was a crossroads, the roads on the sea.
But it was amazing, because it was all to do with the Opium Wars, of course, which the British were having with China. And I think they ceded Hong Kong to get the British out of China or something. There's some reason that they ceded it out. But it was just a little island with a couple of little shanty towns, things on it. And villages. Nothing much.
All I know that if Ding Dong went to Hong Kong to play ping pong and died, what would they put on his coffin?
I don't know.
A lid.
A lid.
That's all I know about Hong Kong.
Thank you. I had never heard that one. I don't know which joke books you got.
Oh, I had a very dark childhood.
But the thing is with Hong Kong is that they speak Cantonese in Hong Kong. They don't speak Mandarin. That part of the country speaks Cantonese.
So Peking and all the rest of it,
they speak Mandarin.
Mandarin.
Yeah, but if you speak Mandarin, you can understand and speak Cantonese, apparently. But if you're Cantonese only, you find it difficult speaking Mandarin. But they're both tonal languages. It's the sound of your voice that makes the sound, that gives you the meaning of the words.
Oh, right. So the inflections the and emphasis. Things that
if you put a lower inflection on the same word, it means something totally different to what if you put an upper inflection on
it. So it's more sing-songy.
When I was over there with my partner, he and his mother and father would be talking. I'd shut my eyes and listen to it. It was like an opera. It was the way that the voices just went up and down. It was like somebody singing. It was just beautiful. Yeah. And I didn't know what they were talking about, but, you know.
I'd be waiting for that pause in the conversation when you can say, and Dim Sims.
I watch flies with that, yeah. Yeah. Oh, golly gosh. Foundation Day. There was a national celebration here in Australia.
Yep, way back when.
Way back, long time ago.
1827, I think it was, wasn't it?
Yeah, could have been.
27, round about that time, they called it Foundation Day.
That's when the whole of Australia was claimed as a British colony or British possession.
Right.
21st of January 1827, the entire Australian continent is claimed as British territory.
But if the foundation was to make it a British colony, that's not our day.
No.
It's not really about us, it's about the British. They're claiming the whole of the country as a...
For Britain.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So why are we celebrating that?
Yeah.
So, but then that's a different little angle on things, isn't it?
It was in 1834 that they decided to have the celebration of the foundation of Australia on the 26th of January. And it was decided not to actually have it on the day... But it was a bit later when they decided to have it on have a public holiday on the Monday immediately preceding or just after the 26th of January.
Oh.
And it took a number of years for it to change, but then they decided they would have a public holiday on that day.
Right. So the occasion that we tend to celebrate on the 26th of January is really just New South Wales Day.
Well, really, that's all it is. It's nothing to do with Australia, because Australia became a country on the 1st of January 1901. That's when we became the Federation of Australia, the Commonwealth of Australia.
Yeah. Mm.
But the thing is that the there's a movement afoot to change the date, and it seems to be getting bigger and bigger and bigger.
Mm.
Currently, I'm talking currently now, there's a move to change the date for Australia Day.
Yeah, our Prime Minister's not having a bar of that.
No, that's right.
As from next year, you have to celebrate it on the 26th, and if you want to have citizens, you have to follow his rules, and he's going to hold his breath till he gets his own way.
That's right. Oh, yeah. We'll see what happens to those
sort of and thongs to go to the thing.
Well, yes, there's a dress code, apparently,
the
as
man's
well.
The man's a ding. It's just so stupid.
Quite often you get people wearing their national costume of the country they've come from.
Which looks quite attractive and good on them. But the thing is that you should not be telling people what they can wear anywhere.
He would like to be a communist leader. Do as I say, not as I do. But I like Foundation Day as part of the building code. Because you need good foundations on your house.
Oh, yeah.
Because someday you might come along and build a second story. Might have a gym or a computer room and an extra bedroom.
Well, what about if you build your own house, then you could have a Foundation Day on the day that they poured.
Yeah.
Every year you could say, this is our found.
But we're not going to talk about that second level now, because that's another story.
Oh, is that another?
Thank you, Phil.
You're welcome. You're
very
good
then.
But it's underway. There's a lot of people are very annoyed that the Aboriginal people, the Indigenous people of Australia, are not considered on the 26th of January, and I agree with them.
Well, you can't celebrate Invasion Day.
No.
It's just silly.
That's right. Yeah. And when I was at the Midsummer, I was speaking to some of the council's people that have stopped that Australia Day celebration on the 26th of January. They said, well, we had to do it. There's so many Indigenous people live in our area that we didn't want to upset everybody. Mm. And this is what it does.
I hope that everybody does celebrate on Saturday the 26th, not Monday the 28th, because Monday the 28th is an invention. That's not a day of celebration or commemoration or anything.
That's tradition in Australia to take as many holidays as you can.
That's why they don't want it on the 1st of January, because they'll lose out on a holiday.
That's right. I bought some Australia thongs the other day.
Thongs? Without a thong?
I was thinking a thong when I bought them. But
good.
They cost $2.
Oh, my God.
And they're made in China. That's commercialism.
After we've had a couple of special farewell messages, we'll be listening to Guy Sebastian, Before I Go.
Well, we're going.
We will be.
After I go.
Thanks for being with us.
See
you. And we'll hope that you'll listen to us next week. Bye for now.
Bye.
Bye.
Joy 94.9. This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Joy. Out. Loud. Proud.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.